Do you see the deals on these brands? Of course you can't. This is a podcast. But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and oohs at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrisley Confessions. How are you this morning, Julie?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm always good when I'm sitting across from you.
Oh, flattery will get you everywhere.
That's what I'm hoping for. So many things going on in the country today. I mean, I was just looking, these news things pop up on my Instagram or, you know, like, messages from news breaks or whatever. And there was this young girl in Washington who goes to a public school who they placed an ankle monitor on in order for her to be able to play volleyball because she wasn't vaccinated.
What?
Yeah. I mean,
I think that you and I are both people that see both sides of a situation.
I think that we're very good at trying to look at both
Absolutely.
Sides.
And I think you have that. But then on my side, I had where a nurse that has been working COVID, she's a labor and delivery nurse. She was pregnant. She did not get vaccinated and died, and her baby died from COVID. And there's now studies that show that COVID can cause you to miscarry and have, you know, stillbirths and issues with pregnancy. And I mean, this was a labor and delivery nurse, and she had just been putting off getting vaccinated. I mean,
but then you're worried to death. But then you're scared to death, as I'm sure, as a young mother who's pregnant, to place something in your body that there's so many things that are still up in the air about.
Right. But they're saying that it doesn't actually go to the baby. The vaccine doesn't. The baby just acquires antibodies from you. So that's why they're encouraging, these mothers to go ahead and vaccinate, because the flip side is that it's much worse on the mother and the baby not to vaccinate if they get COVID. So, I mean, I think there's so much conflicting information. It's crazy. I mean, it's so, so crazy. And then, you know, we had someone that got a false positive last week, you know, so that's also something that if this person got a false positive, how many more people got false positives, and how many people have it and don't get tested and don't know that they even have it? You know, I think so. It's just, there's so many unknowns about it.
Well, I mean, I just feel like that, you know, I mean, there's just so many things going on right now and so many different versions of actually what the truth is that no one knows what, you know, no one knows what to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I would do if that was me and you were pregnant and, you know, because you've said I would not do anything that would harm my baby.
Right.
But then who do we trust to tell us it's not going to harm the baby?
Yeah.
And I think that for me, I mean, I've been through COVID, and I mean, I was very sick with it. But then you start looking at all of these studies and how fast these things are being put out. And we've been fighting cancer since forever.
Yeah.
And it takes forever for the FDA to approve a drug for cancer.
Yeah.
It takes the FDA forever to approve a drug that's already been approved in Europe for breast cancer. And we still don't have FDA approval for it, but we have FDA approval for these three drugs.
No. There's only one of the vaccines that is FDA approved, if I'm not mistaken. They're not all FDA approved. I think only the Pfizer is FDA approved.
You need to make sure of that.
Yeah, that's okay. Right, Nick? Yeah. Only Pfizer is FDA approved right now, as of now.
Here's the thing then. If the others are not FDA approved, how are we giving them to everyone in the world, but yet you can't give a breast cancer drug that is proven in Europe to save women's lives, but we can't do that here.
I know. I don't know. I think there's lots of politics involved.
100%. And folks, I don't care what side you fall on, the left or the right, the government should not have a say in your inside your home to tell you what you should do with your body. I mean, now listen, everyone has the right to be vaccinated.
Absolutely.
Everyone has the, and I feel like that the people that are not getting vaccinated, they have a right to say, no, not for me. I feel uncomfortable with this right now.
But I do feel like that they have the, that they should also have to be safe. You know, you, if you are making the decision not to be vaccinated,
then wear a mask.
You need to wear a mask. If you don't feel well, you don't get to subject someone else. You know, you've got to, I do think that there's I think there's being responsible on both sides.
Right. And I mean, and I'm all for this thing about, you know, if you show up to an event and you're not vaccinated, then you have to do a rapid screening.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm all for that. And
absolutely.
I'm all for, you know, if you're not going to be vaccinated, then, you know,
right,
we'll put the mask
then
on.
Then don't complain about getting tested twice a week.
Exactly. 100%. My thing, though, is that I just don't believe in government overreach. I don't believe that the government has a right. I mean, we have Roe versus Wade. That is that is saying that it's a
my body, my choice.
That is the same thing when you're trying to force someone to take vaccinations that they're not comfortable with.
Right.
I mean, look at all of these years that we've had to. I mean, folks, we have vaccinated our children ever since we've had children.
Right.
But it was a choice.
Yes. Yes.
We got to make that choice.
Right. Yeah. I remember even when I was in school, there were a couple of kids that weren't vaccinated, you know, based on
their religious
beliefs or whatever, you know. And I mean, that just, it was what it was, you know.
I just don't believe, I don't want to co-parent with the government.
Right.
The government did not help create this child.
I don't think as a parent that the government should be allowed to step in and take control away from you as long as you are acting in your best interest, and the best interest of your child is subjective in a lot of ways, you know.
Agree.
So, listen,
folks, that's our opinion.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you got to agree with it. It's just our opinion. Right. And that's what we do here on Krista Confessions. We share what our belief systems are and how we feel about certain things. So let's move on past COVID. You know, lots of rumble and chatter on social media, in the last, you know, week or so about all this stuff with this Katie and the things that she posts and the lies that she tells. And so I received
You're talking about Katie Joy.
Yes.
Okay.
I received notice yesterday from someone where she had posted that she had assembled the dream team, her legal defense team. Normally, it's more, and the definition of a team is more than one.
Mm-hmm.
We have a team. But I'm hopeful that actually what she's posted is true, because then that means if she's got a dream team and I have a dream team, then those two teams can dream together and figure out exactly what, you know, who's liable here. I want to make sure that everyone is aware. I'm just not engaging with this, you know, this ass clownery that goes on social media. I'm not going to respond to it, because at the end of the day, I'm going to let our stuff play out in this lawsuit that we're prepping right now to be filed. So do not think that, you know, because so many people are messaging me and whatever and asking me, are you going to sue her? Are you going to sue her? I've already stated, yes, I am suing her. That is happening. So at the end of the day, you know, we're going to let the system work the way that it's supposed to work, hopefully. And this will go in front of a jury, and we will point out to a jury exactly what this woman has done to us, you know, us being our family, and the lies that she has reported on and the things that she has told. And not just us, folks. I mean, I found out yesterday as well that there's two more lawsuits coming, that there's someone that she's gone after for a TRO or whatever it's called, or HRO or whatever, that they have now lawyered up and are going to be making countersuits against her for this and the abusive way that she's used the system. Based off of what they have, you know, what they're stating, they're basically stating that she's an abusive litigator, that she uses the system to try to shut people down, that she, and she does all of this because she wants to control the narrative of what's being told about her. But at the end of the day, we don't have to look for defamation anymore. We have it. We've got it 100%. It's locked down. That's coming from attorneys in her home state, as well as attorneys from Georgia that have reviewed everything. We have what we need to prove slander and defamation of character. So we're going to let that go in front of a jury, and then we're going to parade in, literally, folks, probably 100 people that this woman has defamed, harassed, you know, and just placed a false narrative out there so that she can get a click on her YouTube channel so that she gets to make money. You know, we're also, you know, we have an investigator that is investigating everything about this woman. I mean, everything from any GoFundMes to, you know, money's being paid to PayPal on her behalf and that she supposedly donated to people. You know, we're going to find all that stuff out, and all that stuff comes out in depositions. I guess her attorney has now stated that she is going to fight being deposed. That's okay. We don't care. She wouldn't be the first one and won't be the last one. But she will be deposed, and they will have to fight that because we already have subpoena power. So at the end of the day, that's kind of where we are, but I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to go back and forth. I'm not going to answer questions on Twitter. I'm going to let my attorneys do that. But for all of you who are asking, are you going to sue her? The answer has not changed since day one when I said it. She is going to be sued. It's that simple. She's being sued for slander, defamation of character, torturous interference with business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Did you know health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight? Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with substantial copays and deductibles. That's why planning ahead is essential for financial protection. If an emergency arises, AirMed Care Network's highly trained crews can provide air medical transport to the nearest and most appropriate trauma center. And with an AirMed Care Network membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for that flight. That's right. Members won't see a bill when flown by an AMCN provider. An AMCN membership covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. Join AMCN and secure your financial peace of mind. Right now, as a listener of our podcast, Chrisley Confessions, you'll receive up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Chrisley and use the offer code Chrisley.
And it is what it is. So, I mean, I don't want to give any more time to, you know, these clowns that show up to the circus. I'm just not going to do it. But so that is your update. So I hope that that satisfies all of you that are reaching out to me on social media. And I want to also say thank you to all the people that are reaching out to our attorneys about this, that are giving information over to them. I want to thank everyone that has dumped literally volumes of information, from videos that have now been taken down. You know, these people had them, to tweets that have been deleted after being served a spoliation notice not to delete. Thank God these people out there in the ethernet have copied all this stuff and screenshotted it and video recorded it and things like that. So I'm telling you, it takes a village. And, you know, we are slowly moving towards taking this to a class action status. And I believe that after one more, we will be there. So with that being said, that's your update. So let's move on and let's talk about all of the things that are happening in Afghanistan and Kabul.
Kabul.
Kabul. Kabul, Kabul, you know, I've heard it pronounced both ways. You know, I was watching a thing on the news yesterday and where this family had been locked out of the airport there in Afghanistan. And their children were let, they would only allow the parents to go through and the children were left.
It's awful.
I was like, oh my God. And it was, I don't think the parents intentionally left them. I think they were pushed through the entrance and the kids got separated. And it was so heartbreaking. And I'm just like, oh my God, how is this happening? How is this happening? How have we been in, you know, in this country for so long and lost so many American lives for this to be the outcome? I mean, are we really negotiating with the Taliban? Is that really what we're doing? After 9/11, is that what we're doing? I mean, it's absolutely, and then we're going to leave. And folks, we're going to leave behind all of these fighter planes and all of these weapons and uniforms. And we are being mocked right now by the Taliban. That's what the Americans, that's what's happening to us. We're being mocked. And who would have ever thought, the most powerful nation on earth, that this would be happening? I mean, we are literally a laughing stock. And that is unfortunate. And these people there, I mean, I read this article the other day from this young woman, because in Afghanistan, you know, women have to be covered. You know, they have to have their faces covered. They have no rights whatsoever, basically. But because of our presence there, that had changed. Women were going to colleges. They were going to colleges getting degrees. And I read this article where this young woman, she and her sister had received 2 degrees already, and they were going to the most prestigious university there. And the day that the Taliban took over, she went into her office and she told her coworkers goodbye, because she knew it would be the last time that she ever saw them. And she realized that all of her hard work for those degrees was all in vain. She went home with her sister and they took their diplomas and they hid them. And she said, so now we have to live a lie like we're uneducated women. Like that we never, that part of our life never existed.
Right.
And the men were chanting to a group of women that I will marry 4 of you by the end of the week. How do we turn our back on these women? How do we walk away from a country that's allowing women to be just objects and be objectified, and young females that are being born there that have no value? I'm trying to understand, as a father, your wife gives birth and it's a little girl. Do you really think that the way that you treat women there, that that's acceptable for your young daughter that you're holding right now, for her to be objectified like that?
I think it's just so... And not that history should be repeated, but I think it's so ingrained in them, you know, that women have no value. And I think it's a hard, thing to break. You know, it's a hard, mindset to get out of. But yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, it's you know, I'm horrible. Reading these stories and I'm looking at the news feeds, and I mean, I'm just devastated over a fellow human being and their civil rights meaning nothing.
Yeah.
That literally is baffling to me, considering all of the lives that we've lost to try to give these women their rights, to try to make it a better country for people. And, you know, I have other people that will say, but Todd, it's... The American people was trying to make it a better country from the American standpoint, you know, viewpoint. I don't think it has to do with anything like that. I think it has to do with just the viewpoint of humanity, of common decency, of looking at a fellow human being and saying, if I have this right, you should have this right. if I feel safe to go to college as a female, you should feel safe to, you know, to obtain a higher level of education. It's just baffling to me. And maybe it's because I have daughters and a granddaughter that I just would not, I would like to believe that even if I didn't have daughters, that I would believe the same way.
Right.
So, you know, I loved that Chase, when he was seeing this on the news, he said, who does this? Who has a right to say to a woman that she can't get an education or that she can't do this or she can't do that? I says, they do there in that country. The mm-hmm. Taliban does.
Mm-hmm.
And he was infuriated by that. So, I mean, that made me feel
well,
good.
And I think just as a country as a whole, we are so desensitized that it literally takes us seeing photos of people literally holding on for dear life to a plane and then falling to their death before we stop in our tracks. You know, I think we become so just, it doesn't affect us. So out of sight, out of mind. And I think that's part of the problem that we have.
Listen, I agree. And I mean, so, you know, to get off, you know, to kind of move on from that, I mean, our hearts and prayers go out to everyone in the country that is struggling right now, because it's just, it's horrendous. And, you know, we live here still, and regardless of how crazy it is right here in our own country right now, and all of the corruption that's going on in politics and what have you, we still are better than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want us to always never lose sight of that, because when you look at what's happening there, and we woke up this morning, we had breakfast, we showered, we leisurely got started on the podcast, and no one was telling us every step we had to take.
Sure.
So, you know, we are blessed, folks. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're doing it right here in the United States of America, even though there's a lot of crazy mess going on, still feel blessed. So with that being said, let's take our first caller, please.
Hi, my name is Jackie from Texas. Todd, I was wondering if you would share with me about your salivary gland surgery. I have a stone in my salivary gland. They're watching it to see if it grows. They hope it'll pass, but it's been a couple of years and shows no sign of passing. If it needs surgery, I wonder what I'm up against. So I was just wondering what you were up against. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Jackie. Mine had, I can't even tell you what it was that happened, but it ruptured and my body was being filled with all this, I don't know, I guess poison or whatever. And so they took me into surgery and they made an incision on my neck. They drained it. They irrigated my neck and cleaned everything out. And then they had to do a, what was it, Julie? Cadaver?
Yes, I think so.
They had to use cadaver skin or something like that to place there so that it would close up. And now I'm fine. I mean, I do have a little scar there. And everyone knows, as vain as I am, I mean, I'd love to not have that scar. But I kind of look at my scar now as a badge of honor, a badge of courage, because I survived that horrendous event. But I certainly would be, I would get a second opinion. That's what I would do. I mean, I know you're going to a doctor, they're watching it, but go get a second opinion. It's your body. You can do with your body, or you're supposed to be able to do with your body what you want to do with it. And I would have a second opinion. So I hope that helps you, Jackie. Good luck and God bless. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. It's CJ from Michigan. My question is, I'm looking to move to Nashville and get out of the cold, snowy winters here in Michigan, as well as get away from our crazy governor who's poorly managing our state. So my question is, what is the summer like in Nashville? Is it really hot and humid, or is it kind of mild? And first, like, what motivated you guys to move to Tennessee in the first place out of Atlanta? And what is your favorite part about living in Nashville? Also, can you bring Nanny Faye on the podcast soon? Thanks again, and God bless.
Hi, CJ. Nashville weather. Okay. I am going to tell you, Nashville weather is crazy. Yes, it is hot in the summer and it is humid in the summer. But I will tell you that the good outweighs the bad. Hopefully we're getting ready before too much longer, have a little bit cooler weather. But you won't have the cold weather that you have in Michigan. I mean, it gets cold here, but I don't think like Michigan cold. What do we love about Nashville? There are so many things we love about Nashville. Nashville to me still has a small town feel to it, even though there is a lot of energy and a lot of stuff going on. I love that you can go downtown, that you can go to a hockey game or a concert or a restaurant downtown, and you know, you still feel safe and it's pretty easy to get to. We love, Todd and I both love music, so we love the music aspect of Nashville and everything that it has to offer, that there are so many great spots to hear live music, and to see new talent. And Nashville is just, Tennessee is just beautiful. It's green. It's pretty. You have to hire someone with the exact skills you need to help your business. How do you know who's really best for the role? Save time and screen for quality candidates with the skills you need with Indeed Assessments. When hiring gets hard, you need Indeed, the job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Just attract, interview, and hire. In fact, with Indeed, you can do all of your hiring in one place, even interviewing. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. With Indeed Assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to make sure you're finding applications from people with the skills that you need. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/CC. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/CC. That's Indeed.com/CC. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Todd, what do you love about Nashville?
I love the people in Nashville. I love the people here. I love how genuine people are, how they're genuinely interested in having a conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you doing? You go into a restaurant. Well, hey, Mr. Christie, how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. I love that it's still a small town feel that's exploding every day. I heard the other day that we have more cranes in the air than anywhere else in the country right now because of the growth here in Nashville, which, you know, listen, we liked Nashville 5 years ago and how quiet and sweet of a town it is. And that is changing somewhat because of the growth and the number of people that's moving into this, you know, into Nashville. But as far as the weather, it's hotter than the hinges of hell. So in the summer, it is hot. But the good news about the humidity is it's great for your skin. Then in the winter, I don't think our winters are that bad. We've had some ice. You know, it snowed a couple of times since we've been here. But it's certainly not Michigan weather. You're not going to have a Tennessee, you know, winter that's going to come close to your Michigan winter.
Exactly.
Although I don't agree with everything that our governor has done, I think that our governor is doing a fairly decent job compared to some other governors in other states. So if you're looking to get away from your governor for an upgrade, then I would probably think that Governor Lee is a better option for you. So I hope that answers your question. Good luck and God bless. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. This is Angie. I'm calling from North Alabama, and I just wanted to let you know that I am a new listener to your podcast, and I have been watching your show, and I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate you very much, and I enjoy your show, and I thank you for uplifting us and giving us the entertainment and letting us have some time to spend with your family while watching your show and listening to you. And I just wanted to tell you how much I love you, and God bless you, and Please keep up the good work. Thank you.
Angie, that was the sweetest message.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Angie from Alabama.
And we thank you for allowing us to be in your home and sharing your family with us. You know, we are so blessed. You know, Christy Knows Best has done a lot of things for us. But one of the greatest things that it's done is that it has connected us with the people of this country. And no matter where we go, people come up to us. And they're like, oh, I have to tell you about this episode that y'all did. I mean, that happened in our family. Or, you know, I have a mother-in-law, and Julie, I love her like you love Nanny Faye. And you know what, Todd? I've got a Chase, too. you know, it's I love that we are so relatable with everyone. I love that. And so, you know, Angie, thank you, and thank all of the people that tune into Chrissy Confessions and all of our shows. Because without that, we wouldn't be here and we wouldn't have a platform. So I'm grateful for that. So thank you so much for calling in. Next caller, please.
Hello, Todd, Julie. My name is Cadence. I am a huge fan of your show. I love it. You all are so funny and make me so happy when I watch you guys. I love how Chase and Nanny Faye are always getting in trouble, and Todd, you have to most of the time drag them out of trouble. I think it's hilarious. But I had a question for you all. So, you know, you guys seem like you have a lot on your plate, you know, with your kids and, you know, the TV shows and Julie, your cookbook. And, you know, Todd, I heard that you have another show coming out. And I wanted to know, how do you guys do it and how do you guys not get overwhelmed? Because I am a student, a virtual student with all this COVID, and it is really hard not to get overwhelmed just because there's so much work and you don't have much material. You just kind of get a video thrown at you. And it's really hard not to get overwhelmed with all the work. So how do you guys not get overwhelmed with all your stuff, and how do you guys do it? Please let me know. I love you guys, and thank you for making me laugh and smile. Yeah, God bless you all.
Hi, Cadence. You know what? It is easy to get overwhelmed, and I feel like that this past year and a half or it is has really been tough on so many people. So the fact that you can't be in school and that you are having to do it virtually, I know it's not the ideal situation. But as far as how do we not get overwhelmed, I think we do get overwhelmed. I think there are so many times in our lives and that we do get overwhelmed, but we just have to step back and realize that, okay, I'm having a bad day today, but you know what? Tomorrow's going to be better. I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to get in bed early and just get up tomorrow and start again. I think it's just constantly, you know, telling yourself that everything's going to be okay, that God's in control and He knows everything that you're going through and He's going to get you through it. So I think it's just remaining positive, and I know it's hard, and I talk to so many people that so miss not being in person and not being able to have that social interaction with people. And so hopefully we can get back to that before too long. But until then, I think it's just to remain positive, to know that this is temporary and that everything's going to be okay. So thank you again for listening and for your sweet words. Next caller, please.
Hi, Chrissy. This is Kendra from Indianapolis, Indiana. And I was listening to the podcast. I am a big, big fan of you guys. And I love you guys so much. Well, I wanted to let you guys know that, as Julie mentioned, you're only as happy as your weakest child, as your most hurting child. And unfortunately, my oldest child struggled. And like she said, you're crippled, with getting that phone call. Well, I got that phone call, and my son was killed in a car accident. And, but he struggled. He was struggling. And 10 months later to the day, I lost my mom. I'm sorry. And, I hurt so bad, but my son struggled. He struggled with, drugs and everything. And 3 months before the accident, he had given up everything. He wanted to give up everything, and I got my child back, and I miss him so much, but I understand what Kyle is going through, and I'm so glad you got him back. I'm so glad, and I understand how Todd holds his children tight, and please hold them tight. Please hold them tight. I lost my Aaron on March 30th, and then I lost my mom on January 30th. I love you guys. Again, my name is Kendra Hart from Indianapolis, Indiana. But I do understand the struggle. He struggled with drugs, depression, anxiety. And right when he was coming out of it, I lost him in a car accident. I love you guys. Thank you.
Kendra, God bless you, darling. I don't even know where to start. What to say to you, because I can hear the hurt in your voice, and it breaks my heart to know that you're going through that. Kyle was struggling with drugs. You know, when my father was laying in the hospital dying, and Kyle was so close to him, and yet that, you know, it didn't change what Kyle was doing. And, you know, drugs has a way of making you forget everything but the drug. The drug becomes your grandfather, your mother, your sibling. It becomes your best friend. And, you know, I certainly know that I would never be able to give you the words that is going to ease your pain. Because I don't know that the loss of a child, I don't know that pain ever goes away. I think that we just learn to get up every day and put one foot in front of the other and try to keep moving until the good Lord calls us home. The loss of a parent, you know, Julie was diagnosed in March of 2012 with breast cancer, and I lost my dad in July from liver cancer. And, you know, that knocked me down, and I struggled for what? 3 years.
Long time.
3 years.
You still have your days.
Yeah. And so I know that the loss, the feeling of that loss never goes away. I think that you start processing it differently. But, you know, for all of the parents out here struggling with a child that has an addiction, you live in fear 24 hours a day. You're always worried about that phone call coming in. You know, I go to bed at night and I pray and I give my children back to God because it's the safest place that I can place them. And, you know, I also ask God to give them the strength, you know, to face tomorrow, to walk on the road that He created for them before they were ever conceived. I also ask for God to remove the temptations that may come in their life. And I think that when we as a people of the world stop finding comfort in other people's pain and look within our own self and within our own household and our own family, let's not talk about other people's misfortune when we're dealing with it as well, and we're just not strong enough to go out here and tell the world about it. We're keeping it hidden. The worst thing you will ever do for a child with addiction is to hide the addiction, because I did it. I didn't want the world to know that my son was struggling. And this was before we were ever on television. We lived in a beautiful home, a beautiful neighborhood. You know, to everyone looking on the outside, looking in, we had the perfect life. No one knew the struggle that was going on within our home. And I think that was largely because of me, that, you know, I didn't want the world to know that I had a child that was struggling. I didn't want the world to know that our life wasn't perfect. I felt like that I'd worked so hard to make it perfect. And now I realize there is no perfect. Nothing is perfect. No child is perfect. It's not fair for a parent to place that burden on a child, you know, for them to seek, you know, for them to feel, you know, the need to be perfect for someone else. And when I say someone else, your parents, your grandparents, teachers, whatever. I do believe that we should have a strong, solid work ethic, that we should impose that upon our children, and that we should teach them that. But I also believe that we should always be that safe harbor for our children to come home to and tell us anything. and let us help them get through it, because we're only as sick as our secrets, and you would be surprised at how sick someone becomes over a secret. So, you know, God rest your son Aaron's soul. The only thing I can say to you is that he's in the Lord's hands, and there is no safer place. And I hope that this message gives you some encouragement to live on with your life and to know that God left you behind for a reason. There's a purpose for you to be here. And I hope that you can find that purpose and that you will find peace within that purpose. So, Kendra, much love to you from me.
And me.
And from the rest of our family. So good luck and God bless.
Crystal Confessions is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you get a great rate on car insurance, even if it's not with them. They have this nifty comparison tool that puts rates side by side so you choose a rate and coverages that work for you. So let's say you're interested in lowering your rate on your car insurance. Visit Progressive.com to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's rate, and then their tool will provide options from other companies, all lined up and easy to compare. So that's all you have to do is choose the rate and coverages that you like. Progressive gives you options so you make the best choice for you. You could be looking forward to saving money in the very near future. More money for, say, a pair of noise-canceling headphones, an Instapot, more puzzles, whatever brings you joy. Get a quote today at Progressive.com. It's one small step you can do today that could make a big impact on your budget tomorrow. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. My name is Amanda from Washington State. I have a couple questions. I'm a mom of three. My last pregnancy was very tough for me. I had a lot of complications to my pregnancy. I got COVID when I was 4 months pregnant. The doctors were saying that something might be wrong with her heart. And I thought maybe because when I got pregnant, I was 29. I was like, maybe because I'm my old age. Maybe this is all going on. But she was born November 4th, perfectly healthy baby girl. She's a blessing. She's our miracle baby. But I was wondering, when did you guys know when Grayson was your last child? Like, when did you guys know? Because I always thought I would have four kids. That's my mindset since I was 13 years old, having four kids. But after the scare of this last pregnancy, I don't know if I want to put my body through it or having this baby, being pregnant with this baby, and, you know, what if something bad happens to this unborn child? I'm just scared to be pregnant again after, you know, what I went through. And I would just like your advice. And when is Nana Faye going to come on the podcast? She's my favorite. My kids, my 9-year-old, my 5-year-old, they love Nana Faye. They love watching her. She's so funny. She makes us laugh. And I just want to say thank you to all your family for just making us laugh. You know, I work night shift at a retirement home. So on my downtime, I'm watching your show at work and just making me laugh through the night. I just want to say thank you. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Amanda, and congratulations on the new baby. Girl, you said 29 and old. Honey, that is not old at all. But how do you know when it's your last baby? Well, I think for us, Grayson was our miracle baby because we were done having kids. You know, we had Lindsay, Kyle, Chase, Savannah, and we were done. So Grayson was our miracle baby. So we didn't think about, you know, we thought, well, maybe Grayson's by himself and, you know, so should we have another one just so he's not by himself, because there was such an age difference, but it didn't work out. And you know what? That was the way it was meant to be. So I would tell you that, you know, I think you know when you know. And if you are having these feelings of, you know, not wanting to put your body through it again, not, you know, the scare of just something, you know, going wrong or whatever, I think you have three healthy, beautiful children. You want to be the very best for them that you can be. And so I think you'll know when you know. You know, I think you'll have a peace that, okay, my family's complete. Or, you know, as you've said that you always wanted four kids, if there's still that urge and you and your partner still feel like, okay, our family's not complete, or we feel like, you know, that we should have one more child, then I think you'll both know that. So that's my take on it. But whatever your decision is, best of luck to it. And glad that everything was good with the new baby. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Stacy from Palm Beach, Florida. I called a few months back. Julie gave me some good advice. We are adopting our granddaughter. Our daughter has very serious drug addiction issues, and our adoption is going to be final with her on April 28th. So we're so excited. And I'm one of your biggest fans. Watch everything and listen to everything. I wanted to give a shout out to Todd. In one of the podcasts, you mentioned hearing a song that changed you. And I read my Bible every day and listen to contemporary Christian music, but I listen to Take Me In and by War and Treaty. And it changed my life as well. It had me in tears. It is such an amazing song. I thank you, Todd, so much for sharing that with us. I probably would have never known it was out there. And again, it was just absolutely awesome. I have the whole CD and listen to it all the time. And any more advice you could give on being in your late 50s and raising a 11-month-old baby right now is greatly appreciated. She does have a few little issues from being born drug addicted, but we're getting through them slowly day by day. She's our little miracle. And again, keep on doing what you're doing. You guys are awesome. Thanks.
You know, listen, first, let me just say that I'm grateful that anything that I post or that I talk about helps someone. So I'm grateful for that. I am also, you know, War and Treaty, you know, they were on our podcast a year or so ago, and their story was so impactful. And I mean, in this couple literally, you just to be in their presence changes your life. And that song, Take Me In, I remember when I heard it the first time, and you know, their label was like, you know, it's not the one we want to lead out with. It's not the one we want to lead out with. And I thought, huge mistake, huge, huge mistake. And now it is the song from that album that is blowing up. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I was right, but I was right. And it does. It changes your whole mood. It changes your whole outlook towards things. And it's been very uplifting for me. As far as raising a young baby in your late 50s, you know, I think we were fortunate, you know, because Chloe is now 8 years old. So, you know, we've had her 8 years ago. And so that would have put me at 45. And I can tell you that 53 raising an 8 year old is different than raising an 8 year old at 33 or 43. But I look at her every day and I just think, I thought my life was full. And I watch her smile and the way that she puts her hand on her hips and she's sassy and, you know, the way she's, you know, she's got an opinion about everything now. And I think, wow, your life really wasn't full. So what I would say to you is that God knows when enough's enough. God knows when our plate's full. God knows when there's no more room at the end. And for him to bring this baby to you, it's because he knows that you've still got a lot left to give. And she could end up running the world. and just feed into her. Feed into her, make sure that she has a relationship with Christ. You know, feed into her and make sure that she's a good, decent, honorable human being. And
that she's not a victim of her circumstance.
Yes. And, you know, as bad as it's going to sound, you are adopting this child. You are going to become her adoptive mother. And that's how it has to be. You have to set aside your daughter's feelings at this point. And you have to put the child first. And that was the hardest thing for me. Because, you know, Chloe does know that Kyle is her dad and she knows who her mother is. And you know, Chloe goes to therapy and, you know, we make sure that she knows, you know, that, you know, this is your dad's side of your family. This is your mom's side of your family. You know, that you're biracial, that to the world, people may perceive you as black, but you know, your dad's white, your mom's black. And, you know, you're more than a color. You're not a color. You're a heart. You're a human being. You're a child of God. And it took me a minute to not feel like I was betraying Kyle when she started calling me dad. And I said to Kyle, you know, does that bother you? And he said, it bothers me. But he says, I understand why she does it, because you are the dad that she's had. It's what she's grown up with. And I'm grateful to God that she has that. So I hope that you get to that place with your daughter. But we made the decision when we took Chloe that we were going to raise her and that we would raise her to the best of our ability based on what our core value systems are. And we had to take her biological parents out of the equation in order to make sure it was always solely about her. And so I hope that is the advice that I would give you. You know, we have a good relationship with Kyle, and, you know, and I talk to Kyle every day, and he talks to Chloe over the phone. If she comes in, he's on speaker, she'll say, hello, how are you? She sees him on occasion when he's over at the house or whatever. And they have a very casual relationship where there's no stress or any of that involved in it. So I do hope that that comes for you in time. Julie, anything else? Mm-hmm. Well, then listen, good luck to you and God bless.
Hey guys, so do you love listening to this podcast? I love that you're here to listen. Do you ever wonder what it's like to create a listening experience like this week to week? Do your friends always tell you that you should have a podcast? Well, now's your chance. Our podcast network, Podcast One, is looking for the next podcast star. Think it could be you? Enter the self-made podcast competition now to find out. All you have to do is visit launchpadone.com/self-made for a chance to win a contract with Podcast One valued at over $100,000 in promotion and so much more. Enter now until September 3rd and tell all of your friends to listen and download. Go to launchpadone.com/self-made to find out more. See official rules and sign up for your chance to win. That's launchpadone.com/self-made.
Are you looking for excitement in your life? Are you looking to make a change? Do you want to move to a new city? Do you want to find new friends? Do you want to be the best version of yourself? I'm Lexi, and this is my Diary of a Gen Z podcast. I spend half my life on the ground, the other half in the clouds. This coming-of-age podcast will answer your real-life questions, but explore your daydreams, too. Check out @Lexi every week on Podcast One.
Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Cecilia. I am from Glendale, Arizona. I don't have a question for you. I just simply have to tell you guys that you're amazing. I'm a mail carrier. You guys bring me so much joy, laughter. I think that you guys are hilarious. And Todd's sarcasm, I can totally relate to it because I'm a shit talker myself. So I just want to let you guys know that you guys bring so much joy to my life, and that I talk about you guys constantly, and keep up the good work, and thank you for being so real.
I just love you already.
Because she's a shit talker.
Yeah.
And I love that.
No, it's not that she is. It's that she doesn't have a problem telling
she
you.
Owns she owns it. She owns it. She's another Todd.
Yeah.
She owns it.
She is Todd 2.0.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Well, you know, listen, I am grateful that you find something positive from our show and from us in general. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for your viewership. So good luck and God bless and stay safe. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd. Hi, Julie. I love your show. I want to be anonymous in case somebody hears this conversation. But anyway, I was living at home with my parents in North Carolina and moved back to Boston this week and had a condo here. And when I got back, my roommate had trashed the whole condo. And there was all my pictures were gone. There was clothes everywhere and piles of stuff everywhere. It didn't even look like my place. And I was just heartbroken. I did talk to my roommate, and I told her how I was feeling, but I still am just still very much overwhelmed and wanted to know what you thought I should do. Love your show and love all of you and watch your show every day and listen to your podcast every week. Take care of yourselves. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for calling in. I wish you would have told me if the roommate is still living with you or if this is the way she left it when she left. So I'll just have to come at you from two different angles. If this is the way that she left it when she left and she's no longer your roommate, be blessed that she showed you exactly who she is and that she's out of your life and that she exited your life without you having to be the one to cause that. If she is still living with you in your condo and you came back to your home and it was in such disarray, then she needs to go. Because anyone who does not respect someone else's property shouldn't be on that property. Anyone who refuses to respect someone else's property should not benefit from the usage of that property. So my advice to you is that rather than look at your glass as being half empty, look at it as half full, that she has shown you who she is. And when people show you who they are, believe them. That is, she has shown you either way, whether she's a current resident or whether she's a past resident. She's shown you that she's nasty as hell. She has no respect for your property and that she needs to go. You need to send this trick on her way. That's what needs to happen. So I hope that you will find the strength and the courage to do that. Again, whether she's still there or whether she's already gone. If she's already gone, cut off communication with her because there's not enough space in your life for all of the beauty that you can fill it with if you allow all the negativity to take up residence. So just remember that. So folks, with that being said, we're out of time.
Yes.
Again, it goes so fast each week. So listen, thank each and every one of you for tuning in each week to Chrisley Confessions, to Growing Up Chrisley, to Chrisley Knows Best. We are so grateful. We are so grateful for the ratings that you guys continue to give us with L3s and L7s and streaming and lives and all of that. We are truly so, so, so grateful for that. So until next week, good luck. God bless. Take care of each other.